Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Woo. Hallelujah. Is somebody sensing the new season already? Glory to God. I'm just excited. God is a good God. I say God is a good God. Hallelujah. So we'll be having a great time in a new series we started, Emotions. And we're basically talking about how to manage your emotions. We established last week that your emotions are actually a major part of you, and it will have a major impact in your life. God wouldn't have given us emotions if it wasn't important. God wouldn't have given us emotions even if it wasn't important. So it is very important. It's a major part of your life. It actually controls you. It controls you so much. It affects your outcome so much. You just need to understand how it works. So if it wasn't important, God would give us emotions. And when they asked Jesus, what's the greatest commandment and the law? And he mentioned the three major parts of human beings, but he also infused our emotions there. He said, you will love the Lord God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your might. That's the three parts of human, that's the three major parts of human being, including the soul, including your emotions, your feelings. Is somebody getting this? So we can't even worship without our feelings. Our feelings is part of the worship. Our feelings is how we express. Emotion simply means feelings, and that is how we express. You can't express feelings. You can't express worship without emotions. Is somebody getting this? So this is very important. It's not just, on the surface. It's very important. And we said that there are two major extremes. First extreme are people that are totally subject to their emotions. They do everything that they feel like. They obey their feelings. That's the wrong extreme. The other extreme are people that totally ignore their emotions. They say, we do not show emotion. We don't have to show how we feel. These people are always stuck up. Some of them were like that, not by their fault, but because of what they went through as children. Maybe they were abused. Maybe they were molested. Maybe they showed emotion at some time and people shut them down. Or maybe just like natural African. Most of us are not brought up emotionally. How many of you here did your parents hug when you were young? Your father just wake up and hug you. It's rare. It's rare. In our own time now, we were very... But in those days, your father just wake up and just hug you. No. Even if it ever happened, it would be once in a long while. But today, I literally hug my children every day. Before they go to school and when they come back, I hug them every day. So they are going to have that. Because that plays a role in your emotional balance. So, but some of us, as Africans, we are used to not showing emotion. Especially if you're a man, that's the worst. You are used to not showing emotion. So you say, I love you. And once is enough. I tell you, 1982, that's when you manage to, no. We're not used to that. Or your parents hugging you. Or did anybody here, did your father tell you things like, I love you? Those are very awkward things for, you know, we didn't get to feel emotional. We're not very emotionally balanced. We're not. Praise God. I told them last week, I said, just try now and call your father, your mother. And just say, hey, mommy, I just want to tell you I love you. Or daddy, I love you. You're just here. Why? What is happening? What is happening? It's very awkward. All right, so those are the two extremes. The best is the middle, where you know how to express emotion, but you also know how to manage it. So you don't obey it. You don't do everything it tells you. You control it. You manage it. You use it the right way. Praise God. So last week was great. You need to get the message, and it's also on YouTube. You can also get it for free here. It's available. Last week was Meet Your Emotions. So we dealt with some things. I can't recap it. It's too long. This week, we're looking at understanding your emotions. So let's continue from where we stopped last week. So last week, we said different things about emotion. Now, before I give you the main point of today, there are some emotional, what I call time bombs or emotional landmines. There are areas of your emotion that explodes. Is somebody getting this? I call them emotional landmines or emotional time bombs. There are areas of emotion that everybody must pay attention to. I'll give you a few. Or let me say it this way. There are areas of your emotion that is generally very touchy. It can explode. So it's an emotional time bomb. First one is money. Most people are emotional about money. Have you noticed? Very emotional about money. You don't talk about money like that. If you are owing them, or you are delaying payment, or you can see them move from zero to 100. People get touchy about money. Everywhere in the world. Once you talk about money, people's emotions get escalated. It was so bad that the Bible itself says the love of money is the root of all evil. Money is not the root of all evil. It's the love of it. It's getting emotional about it that leads to evil. I've seen people that have killed themselves. I've seen family that have killed themselves because of wealth, land, different kind of things. And they've literally assassinated, killed friends, family because of money. So money is an emotional area that is a landmine. So you must master it and you must line up your emotions with God's word. Because even the Bible says the love of money. In fact, when Jesus was speaking, he said you cannot serve God and serve mammon at the same time. He compared God and money. Because it's an emotional thing. So listen, I'm giving you this so that you will take note. So be very careful your reaction about money. Be very careful. Be very careful because it will sneak in on you. If you're among those that hate on other people when they prosper, you're among those that, you know, your favorite argument is argument on tithing. You don't know any other scripture. You need to check. Those people that argue a lot about tithing, check, are there other areas of their life they are really serving God? You find that they're not interested in another thing. They don't have argument on prayer. But money! What is the pastor doing with my money? Glory to God. People just get emotional about money. Okay? That's one area. Second area. There are many. I'm just going to touch a few because it's just by the side. Another area is sexual passion. Sexual passion. This one too is crazy. And the Bible talks about all of them. The Bible talks about all of them. For the money, it says the key to it is to love God and not money. It says you cannot serve God and mammon at the same time. It says so love God, then trust God to be the one that supplies your need. Because once you trust money to supply your need, you will fall in love with money. Anybody meeting your needs, you love the person. Do you understand, guys? Anybody taking care of you, you love the person. So the key to that is learn to focus on God, not money. Learn to love God, not money. It's okay? And learn to give. Giving is the best way. Giving is the best way to detach yourself from money. If you always hoard and keep and never give, your heart will always grow into money. The Bible says wherever your treasures are, that's where your heart will be also. Do you understand? So giving is how you cure that. Giving. Giving. Give and give and give. You will lose, you know, you will start seeing God provide for you and your focus will be on God, not on the money. Sex is on that one. Landmine. Sex is a landmine. And you will notice when it comes to these areas, the Bible is very explicit about how to deal with these things. It talks about it. Sex is a landmine. Because sex has a way of cutting out oxygen from your brain. Sexual passion. I'm telling you, it's not a joke. That's why the Bible is clear about it. Say, this one is so serious. Say, flee. The only solution is run. For God that gave us sexual passion to tell us to run, he knows what he gave you. He said, this thing is a bomb. You can't negotiate with it. You can't think it through. He said, run. Leave your charger. Leave your shoe. Forget the things you brought. Run. Because once I've seen sex control people's life, it's so powerful. It's an emotional landmine. Sexual passion. Sexual passion. It's an emotional landmine. Say, flee youthful lust. Flee every appearance of evil. Flee immorality. Look at this here. Flee fornication. 1 Corinthians 16. Flee. You know what flee means? Flee is not run. No. Flee is take off. You know the cartoon when your leg grow. Take off. Phew. Take off. It's not there. You are still picking your things. Leave your charger. That's how Joseph escaped. He left his jacket. I don't know if you're getting what I'm saying. It cuts off the brain. Oh. I'm in love. I'm in love. So you're loving somebody's husband or somebody's wife. And if you're not married, due to you're loving somebody's husband or somebody's wife, and you're sleeping with them, you're sleeping with somebody's husband. Until you marry them, they are not your husband. Is someone getting what I'm saying? Fornication and adultery are the same. They are just time separating them. They are the same thing. In fact, in Galatians 5, they mention them together. They say the works of the flesh are these. Adultery, fornication, back to back. DJ, quickly bring it. They are the same. So anybody you are sleeping with that you're not married to, It's adultery. It's somebody's husband, potentially. They might not be somebody's husband now, but one day they'll be somebody's husband. I get what I'm saying? As long as you're not married to the person, it is sin. Look at it here. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. Number one is what? Number two is what? They are one and the other, same. They are brothers. So powerful. And some people say, I've heard people say things like, oh, there's so much immorality in the church. No, my brother, there's immorality in the world. Sexual passion is a worldwide problem. They have to open a mini federal ministry to look into sexual passion affairs and be given drugs and other things and treatment and counseling to calm people down. It's a worldwide problem. I'm not joking. From Catholic priest to Pentecostal pastor to workplace. You know, people are hypocritical. They say, the church, my brother, is in your office. Go and check. It's also in your schools. Go and check. They are molesting kids in schools. It's not church. It's a human being problem. If there are human beings there, they are all dealing with sexual passion. And they must constantly be giving immunization. It's a human being problem. From Catholic priest to Pentecostal pastor to office. It happens in your offices. To schools. They are molesting kids in schools. To prison. To anywhere you want to look. As long as there are human beings there. So let's not point to the church specially. No. Is these people from this your office that came to church? They are the same people we are dealing with. Sexual passion is a worldwide problem. From Abraham to David, to Samson, to Joseph. We're dealing with it. It's not today's issue. I don't know if somebody's getting what I'm saying. The MD of... Because I'm telling you, it happened in movie industry recently. They started what they call the Me Too movement. In fact, it's the whole America. But it started from, you saw Bill Cosby go to prison. You saw... It's not church. It's human problem. Because God gave us sexual passion and it's very hot. And what's the alternative? Because people have thought, why did God give us? What do you prefer? That he should not give us, or he give us and we promise to manage it? Which one do you prefer? Let's be sincere. A or B? Give us, let's be managing it. We'll try. That's what we'll tell God. That God give us like that, let's manage it. But most times we find that we can't manage it. It's like a sports car. What would you rather, that it doesn't have power, or you have power and you manage it? Give us, let's tell us when we see the chance and there's road, fire. It's better than not having it at all. I don't know if somebody's getting what I'm saying. So God has to give it to you with the mindset that you will manage it. So it happens everywhere. So any part of the world, you see it there. Whether it's politics, you saw American presidents. You saw it everywhere. In fact, there was a story that one of our presidents died on the matter. I'm just trying to show you, it's a human problem. So it's an emotional landmine you must master. If you don't master it, you'll grow into trouble. It's an emotional landmine. The MD, the CEO of McDonald's recently resigned this last week. You don't know what CEO of McDonald's is. You know, McDonald's is not popular here. But McDonald's is everywhere in the world. And it's a big food chain. One of the biggest, literally, in the world. The CEO earns over $1 million a month. I don't know, let me bring it to Naira. Imagine a human being earning 360 million Naira every month. We're not counting benefits. There will be benefits, healthcare, there will be other vacation. We're not counting all those things. Dress allowance, cough allowance, annoyance allowance, other things. Because at that level, they give you allowance. They allow you. He's earning over, not $1 million, so over $1 million a month. Let's say roughly 400 million naira every month. That means if they pay you now, you can go to Banana Land and buy a house. If they pay you, you can go to California and just close one mansion by the hill. 1 million, you can just go to Ferrari and say, give me three. From 1 month's salary. So the MD, the CEO of McDonald's, he stepped down recently. What happened? He had a sexual affair. Not rape, and not adultery, because he's divorced. So not adultery, not rape, not anything bad. Just normal relationship that involves sex with a staff.
And according to their whatever, he's not, as a senior staff, he's not supposed to have any sexual relation with a junior staff. So he had to step down. Now, let's look at this. On a normal day, how can somebody drop 300, 400 million naira monthly because of 3 minutes sex? Was he doing it consciously? Because this thing cuts off oxygen to the brain. So we need to be a bit more patient and understanding with people. Are you getting what I'm saying? Because I don't think anybody will throw away such a... He has been working there for some years. He didn't arrive. You can't be that kind of thing. You have been building the career. He emptied it. He finished it. In a way that is not glorious. In an unceremonious way. On top of a woman. With that amount of money, sex should not be an issue. But it cuts off brain. Samson too threw away. So many people have thrown away their own. When they saw that thing. And after it, they normalize. And they think, what was I thinking? You were not thinking. It's an emotional time bomb. I get what I'm saying? He threw away CEO of McDonald's. I'm just saying it happens everywhere. Last one on under this one. Forgive. There are many. I couldn't touch all of them because people have made me gist too much. Forgiveness. So an emotional time bomb. Hey, has anybody really offended you? Real one, no. Not passing by. Real offense. Somebody you have known or trusted or counted on. Or you thought the person would be there for you. And they betrayed you. Hey, that's an emotional time bomb. You hear people say, I will forgive, but I can never forget. It's an emotional. People can't forgive because offense is so powerful. Can be so powerful. Emotional time bomb. As a pastor, I go through what, and now understand what people that go through breakup go through. Not now, I've been understanding this since. Because what makes breakup bad is that you are busy putting yourself 100% into the thing until you get a shocker that all this while, this person was not with you. So you are confused which one should annoy you. You are wondering, what did I do? Secondly, am I not good enough? Thirdly, so all this while I was suffering myself, I was making a fool of you. There are many things going through your head. As a pastor, I go through that all the time. Because every time somebody comes to church and commits to being a member of church, I give 100%. In fact, we make so much sacrifices. Sometimes I don't see my kids for weeks because we're doing ministry. We make so much sacrifices to bless people. One day they will just stand up and say, I'm going. For no reason. So all this while, you know, I was giving 100%, thinking we are together in this. Because your destiny, I'm a partner in your destiny. All this preaching is not for fun. Not because I like talking. I'm trying to help you be the best you can be. Some people, when they become that best they can be, they now say the person that built it is not good enough to benefit from it. They'll go to any other church. Some people say, if you hear the thing that annoyed them, they'll say, somebody talked about me. I said, so what of me here talking to you every day, praying for you? I don't matter. The only person you're going to respect and act on is somebody else that spoke negative about you. And you're going to respond to that and act. So whenever people leave church, I'm not saying you must not leave. I'm just telling you, we are used to it now. And usually, when we train our new ministers, we tell them you must be attached and detached at the same time. Because human beings are funny. You can kill yourself for them. And they will carry their bag after you have died. I move to the next church. Once one scandal breaks, they just move to another church. They don't want trouble. That's their vision. That's their life motto. I don't want trouble. Forgiveness. When I saw in the Bible that Stephen actually prayed for Paul, it touched my heart. Do you know Stephen? Because I believe that prayer was the beginning of Saul's conversion. Every time you hold somebody ransom, you stop them from enjoying God. Because they are like in prison in your hand. That's why Jesus said, if you want to offer an offering and you've offended somebody, you offended your brother, he said, go and make peace first before you drop that offering. Because you might not get the best of that seed if you are still having offense. Whether you are the offender or the offendee. So they were stoning Stephen in Acts chapter 7. Let me check.
Is it 7 or 6? 7, yes, from verse 55. Let's look at it, guys. Verse 55. I'm going to rush the remaining message because people have made me gist. All this one is not even the message. DJ, bring it up. From 55. It says, but he, being full of the Holy Ghost, this is talking about Stephen, being full of the Holy Ghost, he looked up steadfastly into the heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God. So he was seeing this thing. Next verse. He said, and said, behold, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Next verse. He said, then they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord. Look at this. He said, and they cast him out of the city, took him outside. And they did what? Stoned him. Killing by stoning, you can imagine how horrible that. Gunshot is easy. Seconds, it's over. Stoning takes a long time and you see the person's face keep damage on the body. He said, stoned him, and the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet, whose name was what? Saul. Saul was the main motivator. If you know anything about him, that was his job, going about different cities, organizing people to stone people, persecuting the church. So he was the supervisor. So they all dropped their things with him. He was their senior staff. Next verse. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus. They stoned Stephen, that Stephen calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive what? My spirit. Next verse. He said, and he knelt down and cried with a loud voice. Say, Lord, do what? Lay not this sin, what? To their charge. And when he said this, he fell asleep. In other words, he cleaned their slate before he left. And I believe because he didn't hold grudge against people like Saul, that began the conversion of Saul, who later changed the whole world and wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. Who are you holding to that you need to release? You need to release them. You need to release them. You need to release them. Or else God can't continue with them. Maybe God wants to save that person, but you are too bitter and too upset. God wants to reach that person. God wants to bless and change that person, but you are too upset. Forgiveness is a major emotional landmine. Some people still cry when they remember what some people did to them. Some people still hurt over what has happened to them many years ago. You have to let it go. Even if it's your uncle that molested you, your brother molested you, your cousin molested you when you were young, you have to let it go. You need to even let the person know you have forgiven them and you pray for them. Let me move into the message today. I'll move as fast as I can. Your emotions are real, but they will follow you. Or let me say it this way. Your emotions are real, but you can control them. Let's say it that way. It's better. And water. You know, last week we did the emotions are real, and so your emotions are real. And so we did like about five or six, I can't remember. So we're continuing with this. That your emotions are real. Take note, they are real, but you can control them. That is crucial. Your emotions are real, but you can control them. Many people, when they see how real their emotions are, they confuse that to be their state. So they say things like, I'm just being honest, this is how I feel. No, you are not being honest, you are just being carnal. You are just being weak, you are just being lazy, you are just surrendering to your feelings. Your feelings are real. I agree. I will never dispute that. Your feelings are real. I know you feel hurt. I know you feel disappointed. I know you feel sad. They are real. But guess what? You can control that feeling. That feeling doesn't have authority over you. You have authority over it. You can control the feeling. That's what people need to learn. Don't confuse the fact that the way you feel now is not real or real. It's real. I know it's real. You might feel sexual passion for somebody that's not your spouse. You might feel hurt from somebody that offended you. You might feel attached to your hard-earned money. It's real. But you can control it. You need to know you can control it. The Bible says God has not given us the spirit of fear, but the spirit of love, power, and of a sound mind. Basically, they're saying God has given us a spirit that can control fear. Fear is an emotion. I'll deal with negative emotions next Sunday. So fear is one of the negative emotions. But they are saying that the spirit God gave us is a spirit, not a spirit of fear, is a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. Some versions make it clearly. They say it's a spirit of self-control. Is somebody getting this? You have self-control. Your feelings are real, but you can control it, whatever the feelings are.
You can manage it. Don't say, this is how I am. I must just talk. This is just me. You know this Buddha said this? This is just me. I'm just being honest. I just can't hold. I'm say, you can control it. The Bible said the spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophet. Means you can control your spirit. You can't always say, hey, you just catch me. When I'm just like that, I can't control. You can! You must first deal with the thinking that tells you you can't control it. You must deal with that thinking. Whatever excuse you are giving yourself, this is just me. When they know, once you annoy me, I can't control. It's a lie. You can control yourself. There are circumstances that we play out. You will greatly control yourself. Somebody getting what I'm saying? You are just giving yourself these excuses. This is how I am. Me, I just like women. I can never stay in one place. Me, I can never control myself. Me, I'm a, if a man just touch my neck, that's all. Shut up. You can control yourself. I'm not saying it's going to be easy. The issue is that you have developed yourself in a certain way for so long, so it looks impossible, but you can. You need to first agree that you can control yourself. You never pay tithes, no matter what. That's love of money eating you right there. You love money so much, you can't let it go. The only relationship you have with money is for it to come in. You hate to let it go. That's love of money. It's affecting you. You never tithe, no matter what they preach. You have all the scriptures saying that tithe is in the Old Testament. You see, because you love it, you are finding excuses. You don't see all the ones that talks about giving. You don't see the one that talk about sacrificial giving. You have never seen it. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? I can't pray at night. Me, I can't pray at night. You can't. Because you stay up to watch movies, stay up to watch walk up, stay up to watch different things. Stay up to talk to your friend. You can't. Me, I can't fast. You can't. I can't pray. You can't. You can control it. That's the biggest thing you need to learn. Emotions are real, but you can actually control it. And what are the steps to controlling it? Now, we're going to run through that quickly. Number one, on your journey to controlling your emotions. Number one, set your affections. Set your affections on things above. Or in other words, set your affections on spiritual things. Colossians 3, verse 1 to 3. DJ, bring it up. Colossians 3, 1 to 3. See what it says. It said, if ye then be what? Risen with Christ. Seek those things which are what? Above. Is somebody reading this with me? I need you to look up. Quickly write what you're writing and look up. It said, if ye then be what? Risen with Christ. Do what? Seek things which are above. When the things are above, they mean things that are spiritual, not just natural issues. It says, seek things that are above, where Christ seated on the right hand of God. Next verse. Do what? Do what? Set your affection. Look, God can't ask you to set your affection if you can't set your affection. If God is saying you can set your affection, it means you can control what you fall in love with. This is important, guys. You can control your affection. In other words, when you are lazy about church, lazy about prayer, lazy about some things, you have just not fallen in love yet. And it's your responsibility. It's not going to happen to you by itself. Because that's what many people think about love. They think love just happens to you. You know, just going your way, you don't know, it just happens. If it doesn't happen, it can't happen. No! You can set your affection. You are in control. This is why you are different from an animal. I saw a video today of an animal pushing somebody on a wheelchair. A dog pushing somebody on a wheelchair. And it was just focused on that. I say, see, if it's a human being, because animals will do how they are trained 100% of the time. But if it's a human being pushing you on a wheelchair and he sees ice cream, he can be distracted, but dogs are not like that. If they have been trained to push you, they will do what they are called to do. So your ability to set your affection is what makes you a human being. So stop saying I can't. You can. Set your affections on things above, on spiritual things. Set your affection. Let's finish, guys. It says, set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth, not on natural things. Next verse. It says, for ye are dead, and your life is hid what? With Christ in God. That means you are dead to those natural things. They shouldn't excite you. How does a worldly music excite you and worship music doesn't excite you? Do you know why? You are in love with the world. you are in love with worldly music. You've not gotten to the stage where you love gospel music. When you love gospel music, that is what excites you. You are the one in charge of your affection. That's what the Bible says. Set your affection. You are the one that will set your affection. Anything you are not in love with now is you that have not paid attention. Because as a human being, you have the capacity to start giving attention and focus to something till you fall in love with it. You are the one that will set your affection. Is somebody understanding what I'm saying? You are the one that will set your what? Affection. I watched a story yesterday on CNN. She's a mother now, but when she was 13 years old, you know what they call surfing? These people that take a board, one board-like thing, and go to the beach and be riding waves. I don't know if everybody knows it. Surfing. This girl was attacked by a shark at age 13. She was attacked by a shark when she was doing surfing. Girl, not boy, at age 13. And the shark bit off her hand. Right now, she doesn't have hand on one side. She said after the bit of her hand, 1 month after, she was back surfing. 1 month after. She's still surfing now without hand. She just only has one hand. She's still surfing. How did she build that? Was she born like that? You think she was born like that? She fell in love with surfing and she continued to surf. Look, anything you don't love now, especially when it's spiritual things, is you that don't love it. It's not controlling you. It's not, I don't just like it. No, you don't want to like it. When you are ready, you will like it. You don't like your spouse. It's you that don't want to focus. Not their mistakes. There are so many stories like that. One guy, he's into snakes. Snake bit off his thumb. 1 week after, he was back looking for snakes. One guy, he's a skateboarder. He was doing skates. He fell and broke his right arm. They put POP, went back the next week to skate, fell and broke the left one, put 2 OP, POP. And he was still skating. How did they get there? You Arsenal lover. We thought the losing Arsenal is losing. You still love Arsenal. You know they didn't burn you with Arsenal. Hope you know. That it's not that when they give back to you, Arsenal fans or Arsenal players were holding flag as you came out. No. You develop, I'm saying this to say that you developed a passion for it. You are the one that developed affection. You set your affections on Asta. I've seen divorced people that say, man, you for life, but they have divorced their wife. Man, you have been losing and winning their back. You still love them faithfully for years, but you can't be faithful to your wife. You have set your affection on man, you. It's you that set your affection. I don't know if you get what I'm saying. So stop making excuses. Because as long as you make those excuses, your feelings will be acting like they're in control. They are not in control. You set your affection. If you want to forgive somebody, you can. If you want to set your affection on spiritual things, you can. You don't like to read the Bible, you need to fall in love with the Bible. You need to fall in love with Christian messages. You need to fall in love with going to church. You need to fall in love with the brethren in the house of God. Because I've seen people that say, I love God, I don't just go to church, then you don't yet love God. Because the church is the body of Christ. You can't love Christ and not love the church. Say, but there are hypocrites there. That's why you are welcome. If we're all perfect, people won't welcome you. Because you too have things wrong with you. Somebody get in this. Stop making all these excuses. Set your affections. You say, I can't live in Nigeria. It's because your affection is in Canada. If you set your affection here, you will enjoy this country. This country has many benefits. Including Agbalumoda, I will soon come out. Okay. I'm joking. So, number one, set your affection. Set your affection. It will follow you. Number two, I have to move quickly because I have just 5 minutes to go. Number two, act out what you want. In other words, act out what the Bible says to do. What am I saying? Act out what you should be doing, not what you feel like doing. Many people act out their feelings too much. No, act out what you need to do. So, let me explain what I mean. If the Bible says to give, don't wait till you feel like giving. Just start giving, then later you will feel like it. Like we said last week, it's easier to act your way into feeling than to feel your way into acting. Please hope you have not been missing the midweek services of this series. Don't miss it. Because we do everything Sunday and Wednesday. So Wednesday was awesome. Don't miss it. So start acting. The way emotions work, the moment you start going, it will follow you. Just like when you don't feel like going to work, but you stand up to go and have your bath anyway, before long your feelings will come back. Somebody gets what I'm saying? There are many times like that. You want to go to, you don't feel like going to church, but as you stand up to prepare, by the time you come to church, you enjoy the service. Your feelings was not there before, but it came. Your feelings will always follow your actions. Instead of you following your feelings, do what you need to do. Your feelings will follow you. Is somebody getting this? Act out what you want. If you have bad friends that are not helping you, cut off from them, you'll be okay. After a while, you'll feel okay. You have a negative, you're dating somebody you should not be dating, cut off. Yes, you will feel like you miss them at the beginning, but after a while, you will get along. Your feelings follow you. All right? If the Bible says forgive, don't wait till you feel like forgiving. That's the mistake many people are doing. They are waiting till they feel like, no, the Bible says you forgive, just forgive, then the feelings will come after. That means the first time you even forgive, you will not feel like, that's what I'm trying to say. First time you will give, you will not feel like. Same thing, the Bible says you pray. Pray whether you feel like or not, after a while the feelings will come. You don't feel like going to church, come to church anyway, after a while the feelings will come. Is somebody getting this? You can act your way into feeling easier than it is for you to feel your way into acting. So just go ahead and do what you need to do. Take action. Act. Just go ahead. Do it. Forgive. Give. Love. Walk in love. That means love somebody. Your neighbor. Your enemy. Just love them. That's what the Bible says. Forgive them. Love them. You will not feel like, oh, I'm not saying you will feel like immediately, but do it whether you feel like or not. God won't ask you to do something he knows you cannot do. Do it first. The feelings will come after. Third one as I close. Ask God for help. Don't minimize the place of prayer when it comes to your emotions. You will always do better with a great prayer life in managing your emotions. You will do better with a relationship with God in managing your emotions. That's why I encourage people to be spiritually mature before they get emotionally involved with another person. Because it takes spiritual maturity to handle your emotions. The less spiritual you are, the more emotionally ruled you will be. That means you'll be having a lot of quarrels and fights in your marriage. Because both of you are very touchy. You have no maturity. But the spiritual aspect, spiritual growth, has a way it impacts your behavior. Is somebody getting this? So constantly pray about it. If there are areas you are struggling emotionally, constantly pray about it. Ask God for help. God always responds. Ask God for help. The Bible said he's the one at work in us, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. DJ, give me Philippians 2:13, but give me the NLT version. NLT. He said, for God is working in you, giving you what? The desire. So he starts by your feeling. God works on your feeling. He gives the desire and the power to do what pleases him. So pray about it. Have a good prayer and study life. It helps to calm your emotions. Whether sexual emotions, fear, anxiety, all the emotions you can ever feel. Being spiritually mature helps you calm it. Anger. Being spiritually mature gives you more control over it. So don't play with your spiritual life. Don't pray with asking God for help. Every time you see yourself misbehaving, veering off in fear, anxiety, worry, sexual passion, different things, pray. It can be a short prayer that, Lord, I need your help. It can be that short. But whenever you release God's power inside you, the Bible says he's working in you both to desire and to will of his good pleasure. Were you blessed this morning? Come on, give the Lord a hand.